Hey, Paul.
Hey, T.
You know, I have this opinion that most podcasts require a certain amount of energy to be entertaining, and I fear that perhaps this one will be one of those that has to rely on its actual thought and content more than its bombasticness, energy, and general mainstream glitzy, charismatic appeal. How do you feel about that?
I hope we have enough energy.
I was going to say that'll answer that question. Anyway, hi, I'm Teague, and this over here is Paul Liu.
Hello, I'm Paul.
And we're going to talk about two things very vaguely. You know, usually you say, I have a point to make. In this case, it'll be, I have a fuzzy ball to make.
Why are we doing this, Teague?
We're doing this because I've felt and then expressed to Paul, who said, yeah, I feel that way too. I've felt a slight compulsion to talk about movies on the sort of other side of the coin, where on Down in Front and related podcasts and just the sort of personalities that have come out of doing Down in Front and been attracted to the community and all that stuff, the half of the movie appreciation coin dealing with analytical story points, Campbellian, Snyder, stuff like that has been really well covered. I feel like we've done a pretty good job of that. You know, not an expert PhD doctorate level of good with that, but we've really explored kind of the shit out of it. And until we get to be better people, or someone comes up with a better way to look at movie structure, we're sort of all over that shit and yet none on that shit anymore. And there's a whole other side of the coin, which is a little bit less how do I feel about a movie, and a little bit more how does a movie make me feel? And sort of addressing this slightly, I'll say it. I'm not going to say it. I can't say it. Paul said not to say it. RT, as opposed to a...
That's fine.
A previously considered word that requires two hyphenated three-letter words that are unrelated to each other. RT approach to appreciating movies, and perhaps even less RT than more philosophical, emotional, psychological, let's talk about feelings kind of thing. And Paul, I brought the concept of that up, or he had brought it up or something. At some point I said, I was interested in doing something like that maybe, or at least giving it a shot. And Paul said, I'm your guy.
No, I said, that terrifies me. Let's try it.
Oh, well, there's that. In any case, he gave me a big old fucking Cheshire grin and said, yeah, let's do this. Which sort of brings us to the present. Paul.
Hi.
Paul Liu.
Yep.
Paul Louis Santagata.
That is my full name.
Your acronym is PLUS.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Paul, please.
No.
Tell me why you're here. Why does this terrify you? What exactly are you specifically afraid of sitting on my couch with a glass of wine and some headphones and a nice microphone? There's not even a live stream, man. We do this all the time. What's your problem?
Oh, no. I mean, I was on the other one.
Well, he was on Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And he was a vital... First of all, he's been a vital part of the community for a long time. Secondly, he was a sous chef for the Lord of the Rings extravaganza and also was on mic for about an hour and 20 minutes of that. But thirdly, he sits here terrified. Why? What are you terrified of? What about the prospect of talking about your feelings vis-a-vis movies in front of a microphone worries you?
Because I think it's really important. And yeah, what do you go see a movie for then to feel something about it? You're not going to go and see go see a movie, come out of it and go, oh man, I feel so good about the way that those couple character arcs developed. And
I love the real flow simulation. That was beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, look at the way that the explosion hit that other thing and then also exploded. That's fine. Those are kind of fleeting. Escapist moments, and I'm kind of really into like the more introspective aspects of those things and seeing movies and taking them and putting them in my little movie bag in my brain, and then I live with them forever.
Let me ask you this before we get into our real conversation. If a movie has affected you supremely,
mm-hmm.
What has a movie done to you?
It's kind of fucked me up.
Really?
Yeah. And I really can't do anything.
You have a sadomasochistic relationship with films. You want the film to kind of rope you up and just a little bit? That kind of thing? Or I guess more specifically, do that, but to your heart?
Either that or just kind of blow my mind and be like, wow, I'm not going to not be able to think about the way that those lives in that movie unfolded and compare them to my own or... There's some quote that I'll probably get wrong about somebody that doesn't read has only experienced one life, and somebody that does read has experienced
many
hundreds of lives. Which is very wrong, and I don't know who to attribute it to. But yeah, movies are the
approach of a grab bag.
Yeah, it's the same sort of way where it's like how if you can get how emotionally damaging can you make some.
You're daring the movie to fuck you up. How?
Yeah, yeah.
Bring it. How much can you actually affect me?
Oh, safe.
My God, movie, you affected me.
You're really still just sitting there in the dark, but somehow, because of this amazing art form that we've kind of concocted for ourselves, we're able to have a sort of experience that deeply psychologically can tap into us and kind of live with us and change us and mess us up and... Or on the other side, just, for example, be something that plays a big part in our childhood or kind of is something that we can remember fondly for years and relate to with other people and have that be some sort of common ground that we share.
So what it sounds like you're trying to segue into is the concept of grappling with nostalgia. Dealing with how you felt about a movie as a young person and then revisiting it to find different values or lack thereof and then having to think about why that's the case? Question mark? Paulu?
Why would I be thinking about
So we were trying to figure out what exactly we were going to talk about on a show like this because it's so goddamn nebulous. And the concept of perhaps just talking about one movie that made us feel a certain way that we had in common because Paul is much more... good at movies than I am in terms of having seen them, Paul. In terms of like movies you've seen shit that I've never even heard of. You're that guy. I'm not that guy. I'm still just a little hair kind of into the Wild Wild West, even after 190 or more than that conversations.
Wild West, Jim West, Desperado, Rough Rider.
Rough Rider. Yo, no, you don't want nada, none of this, brother, run of this. Come on, Buffalo Soldier, look, it's like I told you. Anyway.
But that's in distress.
The conversation, okay.
When she meets Jim West.
But the conversation about feelings is a kind of a hard one to begin, and I was blindly grabbing at the available options for a prompt, and it came down to, well, let's just talk about nostalgia. Let's pick a movie that we're nostalgic about, and it turns out we picked one that we have different responses to, and that movie was The Sandlot. So we're going to talk about The Sandlot rather vaguely and not in down-in-front terms so much as more of a psychological sort of invasive conversation with our deep brains. My history with The Sandlot
is very similar to yours, so we can only cover it once.
Oh, the history?
Up until very recently, we had almost the exact same experience.
What was your experience with The Sandlot until you were 12?
It was a movie that was around all the time, and I had on VHS and would watch very frequently.
And enjoyed?
And enjoyed, very much.
Why did you enjoy it, Paul?
Since I was a kid, you put whatever the fuck you want in front of me, and I'd be like, yeah, more. No. It was like a movie about there's a bunch of friends, and there's this music that everybody agrees is kind of good music from that time. I'm missing my...
The movie
time frames. Sure, yeah, you can say the movie touched me.
That's adorable.
Yeah. No, it was like, oh, there's the stuff, and there's kids, and they're running around, and I don't know if this is something that I should bring up later, or this is more of a, like, foresight sort of analysis of it, but it's like, that very much is the way that people remember their childhoods. So if you want to talk about how it...
The movie immediately resembles nostalgia.
It immediately resembles a nostalgic childhood, because it's very saccharine, it's very kind of, like, wrapped up in...
So we have a double... We have a
hits
double
from
dose.
The 60s, and, like, it's sort of, like... It's at once...
We're nostalgic for some guy's movie about how nostalgic he was for his childhood.
Yeah, exactly. So it's... But it's still, like, you know, it could be in space. It could be, like... And it would still be the same sort of, like, similar structure. But the way that it's kind of built in its small series of vignettes of just moments and remembering certain affectations of people or the way that they say certain lines, it's kind of... built exclusively just to be
forever.
Yeah, exactly. And he liked it.
You bobbed for apples in the toilet.
Not that one.
You liked it.
He liked it. It's when the beast is. He's telling the story about how
and he liked it. No, I remember people. That. Yeah,
I think it's one of the best line deliveries in the movie. But yeah, that's really what you kind of grab onto, and that's what sticks with you, is the way that these, like...
The weird shit that clumped up in your memory.
Sure. Like, you have this group of kids that are all very good friends, and they're all...
idyllic?
Yeah, it's extremely idyllic, and it's this, like, great mismatch of shapes and sizes and...
It's
power hierarchies and all sorts of
the social dynamics and sort of the picturesque quality of this group of kids.
Yeah, I mean, like
the whole thing is kind of wish fulfillment for a 9-year-old.
Sure, yeah.
I want the really, really fucking cool kid in the neighborhood to immediately see potential in me and throw me his glove and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and take away my awful hat.
Burn it.
Burn that thing.
Yeah, so I mean, I totally have fond feelings for it as, like, that movie that I watched and grew up with, but I don't think that that should influence the way that I feel about it now. It's like, if you're traveling down a road, the part that you walk past is not immediately dumb because you are now past it. It's super significant to the way that, like, how your tastes developed and how you felt about things, and it all got you to where you are right now.
And there's a certain amount of value in revisiting it and finding out if that holds up or...
No, I mean, like, yeah,
on the
like,
previous.
Turning back and revisiting those things, it doesn't fuck up the way that you felt about it then. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person for having liked that movie when you did. But if you revisit it now and find it kind of, like, emotionally lacking and not as...
Trite.
Not trite, but sort of, like, sweet and kind of airy... And not being as, like, the fun that you had with that movie isn't the fun that, you can't have that fun with that anymore, but that's okay. And it shouldn't limit your ability to have fun with it.
And when you revisit it, you have the opportunity for interesting introspection and conversation about perhaps how you feel about movies in general? Question mark? Because if not, we don't have a premise.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So
yeah,
totally. That we basically agree on everything that has just been said about the movie The Sandlot, but neither of us have talked yet about our revisitation of it. Would you like to go first, or should I?
You should, please.
Because you're going to take the contrarian stance anyway. Well, I guess I'm taking the contrarian stance to you, but I don't want to have the argument on my behalf. I'll say briefly, revisited in the last couple of years many of the movies that I'd grown up with, like Tenets of my childhood, Pillars, as Brian would say, of my childhood, and the cornerstone piece with The Sandlot. I had not revisited The Sandlot at the time that I revisited Explorers.
Set out of fear?
One sec. I had not revisited Sandlot by the time I watched Tron and other things like this, which, to varying degrees, are still fine, are still, quote, okay, quote, but none of them are good. And that began to terrify me. And among the fact that previous examples of movies that I loved had failed, and additionally because this one, The Sandlot, was particularly special for me. I was really, really, really trepidatious approaching The Sandlot as an adult because I had nothing but perfect fond memories of it, just the same as I had had for Explorers and Tron, and just the same as had been dashed for Explorers and Tron. And when I pressed play on The Sandlot, I was actually at work, and I didn't work for the next hour and 45 minutes because I was... Even though very, very often, in fact, almost constantly at work, I'll be watching something on one monitor, but not watching it because I'm working. That did not happen when The Sandlot was on. I was basically giving it too much of the benefit of the doubt, or too little, and paying attention for all the good things and trying to enjoy it, enjoy this, which might have given me a false positive. But walking away from The Sandlot as an adult, or at least as someone in his mid-20s and no longer 9, I actually really liked The Sandlot, and I went on a spree of recommendations for the next few days because while I was not at the time thinking about things in Paul's terms and was thusly not controlling for the quality of nostalgia, in fact, I was only controlling for the quality of does it live up to my expectations better than fucking Tron, the result was I really liked watching The Sandlot again, and then I watched it again after that, like not the next day, but a couple weeks later I watched it again.
And just to make sure.
And everything's less, because after that I was less worried and thus less critical. But, you know, the characters. I remember all the characters, and I love the setting, and I love the fact that it's in the valley, and it's in the 60s, and all the music is beautiful, like Ray Charles music, and Otis Redding's in there, and everything like that. The Champs.
It's kind of tired. It's all kind of tired.
Ba-bum, ba-da, ba-da, ba-bum.
It's all pretty tired.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's nothing about this movie that isn't overplayed. But I love the fact, as a child...
Not when you're nine.
When I was nine, I loved the fact that Marion Ravenwood and Darth Vader were in the same movie. I still love that idea. In any case...
And you said, I will move there.
Revisiting it...
And I will live where they lived.
I was... Yeah, dude, I'm just living out this weird sort of revenge fantasy on the Sandlot. The negative memories of the Sandlot that I never had and still don't. But my reaction, going back to it, was, oh, thank God. It is my understanding, Paul, he said, leadingly, comma, that you did not have the same reaction. Ellipsis.
That is... I saw all of the things that I remembered, and I finally remembered them, but it felt like those sort of peaks of recognition weren't really enough for me as, like, oh, I'm watching this movie now, I wonder how this movie will be. I'm not going to say it doesn't hold up, because those parts totally hold up, and they're still just as good as I remember them, but I kind of wanted...
There wasn't much there for you beyond the nostalgia.
Yeah, there wasn't much there for it beyond the nostalgia, which is fine, because nostalgia's kind of toxic and kind of drags down. It makes everybody a little bit more, like, backwards-facing instead of, like, a little bit more forwards-facing.
It's a retread of emotions, basically.
It's not a retread of emotions. It's a retread of fucking everything. That the music in that movie was... played out by the mid-70s. And here it is again.
Not to mention the fact that the movie itself is a nostalgic look back.
Yeah, yeah, but that's... That was three, wasn't two, so it wasn't a callback to the film. Wasn't on purpose. They, It's okay for a movie to be... To reminisce, to be
sentimental,
and to be sort of a recounting of something that has happened before. But the kind of pure idealization and just the kind of really... this was niceness. I'm going to probably use that a lot.
Does not a whole film make.
No, it doesn't really fill me with the kind of thing that I really like about movies, is when they completely sort of
rape your psyche,
screw you up.
Did you want the Sandlot to devastate you?
I don't know. Maybe there was some stuff that I would pick up on about the relationship between the kid and his parents, or like some sort of like really screwed up bullying thing between the kids that would have made a little bit more sense and carried it. I was hoping, watching it again, that there would be stuff that I didn't notice when I used to watch it.
It sounds like this might as well be true for you as a child, so we'll say it is, and just say that you have consistently been this way your entire life. You look for a movie to inform you in one way or another, and not just didactically, but like emotionally inform you and give you something to mull over as the person you are at the age you are when you watch it. And The Sandlot has quite a bit to say to a 9-year-old with fantasies of XYZ things represented in The Sandlot, but it doesn't have much to say to someone who's 25 or so, who is now looking at this movie as, sure, I can appreciate it as what it is, but, you know, there's an entire ladder going up into the clouds of other things that can be above that. Climb the rungs as far as you want, movie, but ultimately you're not going to inform me with your sort of platitudes about friendship and things like that.
You could call it an emotional reading level.
Emotional reading level is perfect. That's exactly it. And it's called an Earl, which is funny because there's James Earl Jones all over this movie. Anyway.
That's what his middle name stands for.
Wait, what?
Emotional reading. No.
Oh, I thought you were being serious for a second. I was like, oh my God, what did I know about you, Jej? So let me ask you this.
Yo.
Let me get a... You can use Sandlot as an example, but not as a prompt necessarily. What is your opinion of nostalgia, the quality of nostalgia, and what it does to filmgoers? What does it do to you? Why do you value it less than someone who hasn't thought about it might? Where have you come to on the subject of nostalgia?
Subject of nostalgia. I've come to, as I repeat the question, which is a really great stalling tactic, as is explaining said stalling tactic and explaining the explanation.
Nostalgia's great, right, Paul?
Oh, God, no. I think it's dangerous and toxic and kind of bad for you.
What can happen that is bad? What's the wrong side of nostalgia?
You're like constantly revisiting stuff and bowling over it, and not really like the kind of people that think like high school is the best, and like and they spend their entire lives being like, oh man, back when I was in high school, yeah, I was the best. And it's like, well, no, how are you now? Why aren't you kind of? You don't get another shot at this. You should probably
find something new to care about.
Please care about some, like, what do you care about right now? And how is that sort of changing or influencing your life?
You already care about this. Care about something new so that you have more things that you are interested in as you go along in life. Right? Basically, emotionally keep up with yourself.
Yeah, just by looking back like that, all you're doing is stunting your own emotional development, and you're robbing the world of everything that you could be doing or making or creating.
Or thinking,
just because you're so obsessed with something that's already happened, it's already gone, and really is not worth your time anymore, aside from moments of being reverent to the fact that, yes, this
made me feel that way once.
It's made me feel that way once and has led to me feeling this way now.
Do you subscribe to the concept, which, as far as I know, I'm just writing, but probably isn't the case, of films as ex-girlfriends?
Oh, you don't want to go there.
I do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The way you just looked at me, you kind of look scared again, and keeping you scared is what I'm here for.
No, it's absolutely the same way.
The Sandlot is like a junior high school girlfriend that was really important and really meant something at the time, but is pablum now. It is useless, sort of uninformed stuff now that doesn't directly actually address anything that you're dealing with as an adult. It just kind of got you to the next step at the time. Maybe?
I wouldn't go so far as to say pablum.
Totally reaching. Well, pablum is a strong word, and it's pejorative.
It's very pejorative. No, I wouldn't go that far, but it very much speaks to that idea of, yes, it informs you emotionally from that point forward, and that is something that you will live with and revisit
and
forever.
But also potentially regret.
No, that's bullshit. You don't regret anything. Like, it's
no, I'm just talking about decisions you've made for movies that you've cared too much about, that your friend said, dude, it's not really that, and you're like, no, it is that, and then later you're like, oh god. You don't have any movie where you're like, okay, obviously, I still see what I saw in that movie, but yeah. Because I have like 30 of those.
Let's talk about that.
Phantom Menace, Wild Wild West. I got two of those. I mean, Tron doesn't live up either, but whatevs. In any case, let me tell you about the power of nostalgia, because this is something that Paul has had a lot of time to think about because he's interested in the concept. I haven't had as much time mulling over the concepts at work in a conversation about nostalgia, but I'm very introspective and worried about self-progress, like emotional self-progress, because intellectual self-progress
takes care of itself.
A while ago I realized I don't care,
it just kind of happened. Like, if you care about things a lot, that part just sort of happens by accident,
right? And you know, about, it was like three or four years ago, maybe 5 years ago, that I realized I stopped caring about all of those things, at which point I stopped having conversations wherein I was the atheist in a conversation. That just sort of ceased to exist in my life. Previously, there had been quite a bit of trying to sort of intellectually uphold something or other, and I stopped caring. Right around the time we started Down in Front, so I'm very comfortable being the idiot on the show. But the introspection and the introspectiveness is something that I care about a lot, even though I hadn't put a lot of time into the thought about nostalgia. But when I think about it now, and considering what you've been saying, which I think is entirely valid, I am willing to accept the concept that revisiting something that you have previously loved can be informative, although it won't be informative in the same way that something that you're experiencing for the first time can be informative. And it can also be nice. And
it's more informative.
It can be pleasant. The agency that something that you've previously loved has for informing you changes the longer it's been in your life. Previously, it was something that informs you of what you're interested in and things like that, and things that speak to you. Whatever platitudes this movie has to offer you, offered you, and you took them wholeheartedly and moved on to the next thing, whether that was Sandlot 2 or not, probably not, just statistically. that's great. But later it informs you more as sort of an implementation detail into a bigger conversation about yourself, with yourself when you're going to bed at night, about why doesn't that work for me the way it used to? And there's a lot to be learned there. I don't think the quality of nostalgia is necessarily bad. For some reason in my mind, sort of synesthesia, I picture nostalgia as orange. And I like orange. I like orange things. But it doesn't... It's sort of the same thing as a... Sort of like a hot bath. Like running a hot bath. With some like aromatic bubbles and all the sort of girly shit that even guys are like, if no one's around, I'm totally going to put the bubble bath in. You know that stuff? That's sort of what nostalgia feels like for me. Where... there is not a damn bad thing about that quality aside from the fact that you're not getting anything else done. That's sort of how I feel about nostalgia. Too much of it will kill you. As John Cusack said in High Fidelity, some people never got over Nam or the night their band opened for Nirvana. But even if I couldn't find value in Sandlot beyond the nostalgic value, I wouldn't feel negatively about it. So let me ask you this. Obviously you recognize... at least in greater fidelity, better than I do, why the Sandlot worked or didn't work for you recently. But does that affect your opinion of the movie? Do you think it's lesser to like the Sandlot now that you feel that way about it? Or does it just like, that's sort of how it is. I felt about it this way once, and now I feel about it this way, and I don't have to think about it, but that's how it is. Or is it more, no, that's a kid's movie?
No, I still have that sort of reverence for it and saying like, yeah, no, this very much shaped how I feel about these things and how I am now. And every movie that is like that, that you've experienced is like that. It's to get back to the relationship thing at like...
films as ex-girlfriends?
Yeah. At the end of a relationship, are you thinking like, what are you obsessing over? Is it like, this is... are you thinking about, like, how much you're not in that relationship anymore? Are you thinking about how much you liked it when you were in that relationship? Or are you thinking about, which I think is the most rational and adult way, appreciating it for what it was when you had it, and what, how it has changed you and how you are now?
That's good. I like that. I agree with your... supposition that that's the right way to go, at least in terms of maturity and emotionally.
You just gotta like...
it doesn't offend me, so I'll agree with it.
No, you walk the coastline and that's like, okay, you follow the whole thing and that's the way that
right
you feel now.
Have you ever been... I'll just stop myself and rephrase. I imagine, were it not for what I'm sensing are a series of checks and balances in your head, I imagine the wrong implementation of your opinions could lead to hostility towards things like Star Wars and Back to the Future and like Raiders of the Lost Ark and that kind of shit.
Are you reading my fucking mind?
Did I totally just do that?
You totally, yeah.
Call me empathetic.
I was hoping that this conversation might sort of somehow end up here.
I would say Raiders is that good and Back to the Future is almost that good, but Star Wars isn't that good. Star Wars doesn't live up to that shit.
Nah. I don't know if I want to go out on the whole internet and say that I don't care as much about Star Wars as every other fucking human, but I guess they just haven't thought about it as much.
Well, see, everyone was kind of like, that's fine, until you said, but you're probably just stupid, you bastard.
I didn't say that.
Yeah,
well. It's spending time with it.
But when you revisit it, paying attention to the filter that nostalgia gives you and having the ability to mentally remove the filter just to sort of check what the color balance is behind it. Star Wars
plus one green.
Star Wars doesn't live up to that. As much as, now, would you agree, you know, variance may vary here, but, well, that's tautological, but variance may impact us differently, but Raiders is a better movie than Star Wars. Without getting too far into it, Raiders...
You're using a lot of very qualitative language.
Raiders, if you were to love the fuck out of A New Hope, which is Star Wars, but I say A New Hope to clarify, Star Wars... and Raiders as a child. Just loved the fuck out of them. Action figure kid, right? And then come back,
which I was,
and then come. So was I.
Come back at age
30. Raiders has more to. Holy shit, that was there, than Star Wars. Raiders offers more to an adult mind than Star Wars, thus is more susceptible to things like nostalgia, especially for people that.
Yes, but
don't
if our conversation has said anything, it's that I wouldn't use the word better there, like you had at the other half of this.
I all speech is improvised, but I was improvising. You're right. The distinction I'm drawing is more
how much more it can give you. You're talking about exactly what I found lacking in Sandlot, where I can say I still appreciate that movie for how it had affected me when I was that age, but now it offers less. And I'm not saying that it makes it worse. I'm just saying that to my brain now, spending my time and attention with that offers less to me as I continue to live my life than the other film had.
So what is the, not to get overly down and fronty with it, but what is the manifest difference between The Sandlot, a movie you loved when you were 9, and Raiders of the Lost Ark, a movie you loved when you were 9? Looking back at it now, to watch it with fresh eyes as much as you can, what is actually different between them that affects how you feel about them? Is it just the depth and intricacy and connectedness of the ideas at work? Is it just little nuances that are things that a kid would never notice, but now you get them because they're akin to innuendos? Is it shit like that, or is it something else? Because it could just be shit like that, right?
Yeah, there's like an emotional density thing where it's like, how much more can you read into the relationship between a couple characters and how much more there is to play with? And just by characters, you know, like being adults instead of children, all of they're carrying their entire lives with their performance. So
it hadn't occurred to me that there's I just fucking cut you off. I'm sorry. One of the biggest differences in those two movies is one is about a guy who is in his mid-30s and one's about a kid who's not 15 yet.
Look at Temple. Like, Short Round's great, but I mean, like, what's the fucking emotional density of Short Round compared to everybody else in Temple of Doom?
You call him Dr. Jones, doll.
Exactly.
Well, that was... Don't.
I mean, like, you put Short Round on The Sandlot, and it's just like...
He fits.
He fits.
I see what you're saying. So, let me ask you this. Nostalgia is a quality that can be used to basically float an entire movie through your whole life after your childhood experiences with it. Such as the
right, and I think that you're cheating yourself not by revisiting it and experiencing it for what it is and kind of rationalizing that with yourself and moving on.
You don't feel like that takes a certain... This is a straw man. Opposite of a straw man. It's a straw questioner question. But suppose I asked you, even though I don't feel this way, you don't feel like that cheapens the experience? What would you say? You don't feel like saying, I'm not going to allow myself to be nostalgic this time watching this movie. You don't feel like that is...
It's fine as
the experience a little bit?
As long as you're mindful of that fact, then you can feel however the fuck you want about a movie. As long as you understand that you're feeling that way because of how you used to feel about it and not feeling that way because that's how you feel about it now.
Have you ever had an experience where you were watching a movie that you had previously loved? Nostalgia. You kind of lifted the shroud, the filter of nostalgia, just to check it. Just, you know, I'm just going to pretend like I didn't care. Watch the movie that way once. And then at the end of the movie decide, doesn't do it. I'm going to put the shroud back on and then forget that I'd watched it without the shroud. Would The Sandlot be one of those movies where you go, I want to remember it favorably as a movie, not as an experience as a person, but as a film. I want to remember that film favorably just because of bullshit emotional attachment to it. I'm going to pretend like I didn't just look at you naked and put you back.
No, you're neglecting the emotional reality of the movie if you ever do that. Like, no, that's a 2/3 of what you said is exactly how... Like, I saw Sandlot. I was like, oh, I'm going to buy the Blu-ray because we're going to talk about it, and I'll watch it again.
Sorry, Paul.
That's okay. And then I'll watch, like, the first hour and just, like, completely check out and just be like, this is what I remember, but what I remember is fine. I don't need to keep watching this. But that's okay. I'm fine with that. I don't need to check it and pretend that it's still what it was. And it's like, no, that's what it is now. Things change. You're a completely different person than you were when you were 9 years old. Give it up. It's not going to always be the same movie. And that's okay. If there's a movie that I loved when I was 9, it doesn't have to be a movie that I love now. It doesn't have... It's unnecessary. It's okay. I loved that I loved it when I was 9, and I understand
that.
But
you and 9-year-old Paul wouldn't even necessarily get along. You're different people.
I probably think I was a total jerk, but that's... Yeah, that's...
It's a weird thought.
No, it's not. Are you... I'm sure you're different from 9-year-old you. I'm sure you're different from 5-year-old.
For the last 15 years, every 3-year increment presents you an entirely different version of Teague.
Of course.
3 years ago.
Your hair is normal now.
I know, right? No, but there's a bunch of those things like that. Let me ask you this, and we'll discuss this last question and then kind of wrap it up.
Sure.
My question will come in the form of a paragraph, so let me begin my paragraph and then I'll finish it up. But let's ask a question about the nature of nostalgia by asking it thus. Suppose, what was your favorite movie last year? Pick a movie that... What movie hit you the hardest last year?
What came out last year? What are some movies that would have hit me hard that came out last year?
Pick a movie you loved from the last couple of years, Paul. How about Black Swan? Jack Black Swan? What do you got? Something.
It was all right. Not particularly. As a tangent to Red Swan, I saw The Red Shoes for the first time.
Okay, so Red Shoes.
Before I saw Black Swan.
It hit you pretty hard.
Yes, yes. Oh, God, yes.
So we're talking about Red Shoes.
That movie fucked me up, yes.
Now, you are mid-20s. You saw Red Shoes in your mid-20s.
Yes, now, last year.
In 5 years, you might have a more informed palate. You might have been like heartbroken in a different way or severely injured or something that affects your worldview and the way you interact with your, for lack of any sort of a better word, inner self. The way you interact interpersonally with your mind when you're going to sleep. Is how you viewed Red Shoes at age mid-20s. The Red Shoes. In your mid-20s. Going to be nostalgia in 5 years? Or does nostalgia, or at least the ability for a movie to facilitate nostalgia, does that fade the more critical you get? Could Roger Ebert be nostalgic about a movie he saw 5 years ago? End of paragraph.
Probably. I think the distinction there is that a movie like The Red Shoes, like, already, maybe a full year, maybe 18 months after the first time that I saw it, I don't know if I'm going to be able to watch it anymore without crying. And I think in a few years, I'll be crying for different reasons, or more deeply screwed up ones, or more... complicated reasons. It'll do nothing but build, and it'll serve as a foundation for the sort of screwed up emotional palette that it sort of sets before you.
Define nostalgia. Best as you can. Off the top of your head, don't overthink it. Nostalgia is the quality of
idealizing something because it's happened already.
Interesting. I like that definition. I don't think I'd even challenge that definition, at least for the purposes of a conversation.
For no other reason than the fact that it has happened already.
Out of purely human interest interview question, that actually introduces the ability for there to be a qualitative sort of vector of amount for how much you idealize something, or because of how much it already happened. But is there something you felt more nostalgic for than something else? And if so, what's the thing you felt the most nostalgic for? What's the thing you hold in your heart as being the most connected to early you that you still kind of hold on to? Again, that's unrelated to the conversation. That's just a random question.
I don't know.
I've got a few things like that.
I've tried to check out from as much of that as possible.
I think that's admirable. I can understand why. Just poking you with questions.
No, because so you have like that idealization thing, and you have all of what a sort of saccharine mid-60s suburban movie like Sandlot offers for you. Whereas, I don't know, 10-ish years earlier, you have Hubert Selby Jr. publishing something like Last Exit to Brooklyn, which is just full of some of the most terrifying, most fucked up stories that are absolutely on par with how things are now, and has serves absolutely none of the sort of Leave It to Beaver kind of 50s sort of those were the days sort of things that have pervaded us from that time period. It's like, no, people were just as fucked up then as they are now. There's graffiti that they've found on the walls of Pompeii about, like, the whores here are wonderful. Like, scribbled on the side of a whorehouse, or, like, ladies, I have forsaken thee. I will now penetrate only the bums of men. Like, or whatever the translation of that ended up being. I think that was really close.
It sounds like nostalgia is...
It's like, it's all smoke and mirrors and...
It's a function. It's intrinsically a function of memory. Where you tend to remember...
It's a perverted survival instinct. It's like, it is a... It's what we... It's like, oh, this was good. This was okay. I lived through this. Let's strive for that again. It's like, no, it's okay, because that's kind of the way that our brains are built. It's like to let for things like that to happen, but we're sort of intelligent enough creatures to be like, yeah, but let's kind of let go of that and move a little bit more towards, let's see what else there is. Let's explore more of our, the instincts that we have to branch out and look forward and see what there is to see, rather than huddling in the place that we already know is full of things that won't kill us.
I like that. That's a good way to go out. Anyway, so this has been a rather discombobulated,
a curious experiment,
vague and nebulous conversation about the at least one of what could be many, depending on how you guys. Presumably, I'm just talking to you guys in the forum. Hi, guys.
Hello.
In the forum, but basically, just how anyone feels about this, because it lacks the rigidity and energy of an episode of Diff or Intermission, but I really like the content of this conversation, and I found it interesting. And I hope you guys did too, because conversations about the way movies make you feel and different reasons why they make you feel different ways. This was just a conversation about one thing, nostalgia. But for instance, many of the things that Paul talked about, I had never considered, and now I'm like already adopting them into my brain, dealing with them in my own ways and trying to figure out if I agree with them or not. But on the face of it, it sounds like you've done your mental homework, your emotional introspective homework, and your ideas present as sound, and upon further scrutiny may or may not fall apart. But for now, this was fun, and I had a good time with it.
Oh, me too. So I don't remember any of the things I said. I've just kind of spent this whole time in a sort of fugue state.
Welcome to Down in Front.
Hello.
Anyway, so cool. I guess that's the end of our recording, and usually there's a thing that I do, but we don't have really anything to say or sell or pitch. Paul, say in one sentence. Ready? I was just watching him sort of like blink hard and clear his mind here. In one sentence, explain your approach to the influence of nostalgia now. These days, I...
Try not to.
Try not to let them touch you with their weird, glistening, oily fingers of sentimentality and saccharine.
No, I just try to be mindful of that.
Just know that it's there.
Yes. And then move on from there. Once you accept that it's there, and you think about it, and you look around the entirety of it, and it's kind of okay to let that go, and then you can judge it on its... Without that, once you've realized that next thing, so either let it go or absorbed it into you. Same sort of feeling.
My name is Teague Christie.
I am Paul.
Paul, remember when we had that conversation about nostalgia?
Yeah.
That's great.
Did it work?
There was nothing bad about it, too. I just remember how good it was. It was awesome.
There's a couple parts where I kind of blanked for a few seconds, but you got computers for that.
I'm going to hum Tequila for our outro.
Okay.
You're not going to help? Tequila.